Hope everyone's had a great week so far. It's great, the sun's shining. Woohoo! Fantastic. Welcome to the Shore Community Church. If it's your first time, big hello, big welcome to you. We're going to start our worship service very soon. So actually, if you'd like to stand, if you're able to stand, do stand and join me as we enter into the presence of God this morning. We're going to start with a song which is probably not sung for a little while, but it's an older song, but it's very familiar, very easy to pick up as well. So your grace is enough. So again, if you're able to, just lift up your voices. Let's just enter into God's presence this morning and just let's worship.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me.
Great is your love.
Great is your love and justice, God. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God.
Come on, church,
your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
So remember.
So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough, heaven reaching down to us. Your grace is enough for me.
Your grace,
Lord. Your grace is enough, I'm captured by your love. Your grace is enough for me.
So remember.
So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you today. Welcome to the Shore Community Church. I am Jamie. I'm one of the ministers here. Greetings to you if you're joining us online, either live or catch up at some point later in the week. Greetings to you who are physically here in the building. Woo! Which is good. It's worth celebrating, isn't it, after the last couple of years. I see we've got a big party of visitors in from Butlins. Hi, guys at the back. Nice to see you. You're staying at Butlins at the moment. Nice to see you. Anyone else visiting us today? I'm not going to embarrass you much. I might get you to do a little dance or something. No, I won't. Hello there. Good to see you, sir. Welcome. Really good to welcome everyone here today. I've just got a few notices before we continue with our worship. Firstly, Coffee Plus is this Thursday at 10:30. If you're free, it's an opportunity to gather together, to have fellowship, to have a lovely cup of coffee or tea and a lovely piece of cake, which is always good. And there'll be a short message or short time of sharing as well. That's a really great thing. So please do come along on Thursday at 10:30 if you're available. Now, the cafe. Who loves the cafe? Who thinks the cafe is great? Oh, three of us do. That's absolutely awesome. Kind of kills what I was about to say next, really. The cafe has been such an amazing blessing. It's been running now. When we get to June, it'll have been running a year. It's amazing how quickly that year has flown by. And it's been a fantastic first start. We're making all sorts of great connections with our community. And the food, the team, everything is kind of coming on in leaps and bounds. And it's easy to get complacent. It's easy to think, oh, it's great. Yeah, we've got a cafe. But folks, I have to tell you, you know, as with most things to do with church, the finances are precarious. And I really want to encourage you that if you are available on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, any time when the cafe is open, at the moment it's open from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. We are thinking about extending those hours. I'll mention that in a second. If you're available to pop down and have a coffee, have a piece of cake, have a cup of tea, have a light lunch. We do jacket potatoes, we do salads, we do all sorts of lovely sandwiches, we do soup in a roll. There's all different sorts of things. We do pasties and pastries. Come on down and have a lunch. That's a way that you can show your support for the cafe and keep the cafe open. It can be really quiet on a Wednesday particularly, so come on down on a Wednesday particularly. Come and grab a lovely lunch or a cup of tea or a piece of cake, something like that, and let's support this cafe. Otherwise, we're just financially not going to be able to keep it going. So I really want to encourage you to eat cake. So if you hear no other good news this morning, you don't have to have chocolate cake. If you're observing Lent, you can have a different sort of cake. My knowledge of Lent, it might be a little bit shaky there. And one thing, I'm a Baptist, not an Anglican. I'm not from a liturgical background. Greetings to all our liturgical brethren out there who know about this stuff, because clearly I don't. And as I said, we are hoping to start opening the cafe from 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. If you would be available to volunteer, maybe not every week, maybe you can just volunteer once a month, maybe not for the whole time, maybe for just a couple of hours, but if you can give any time at all to volunteer to help staff the cafe on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, please do speak to Sandy. Where are you, Sandy? She's not here. Or speak to Julie. She's not here either. They've both been raptured, and we're all, obviously, under par. Okay, speak to me, speak to Carla, speak to anyone. Speak to someone. Just speak to someone. Say hi, have a chat. It'd be nice. Okay. Good Friday is this Friday. We're going to be joining in with the Walk of Witness with several other churches across town. If you're able to be there at 10 a.m., we're meeting at Our Lady of Sorrows, which is the Catholic Church on Clarence Road, with Christians from all across the town, meeting at 10 o'clock, and then we'll be walking through the high street, ending up at the Methodist Church for some refreshments and worship at the end. So please do join us if you're able to from 10 a.m. on Friday. Jill Blunden Codd, are you here? Yay! One person. So as Jill makes her way up, I'll just say that Richard will be sharing with us later this morning, and Juliet will be coming up just after Jill to share a poem with us. Hello, Jill. Come on up. Don't trip over a lead, please. I'm health and safety leave, so I get in trouble.
So you Thank go. You. Some of you know this true story that I'm going to tell you, but for others, it will be new. The church family here have prayed, and we've had 2 days of prayer for the situation I'm about to share. It's a very sensitive subject, so please don't write about it anywhere. It's just to be talked about. My daughter Laura and her husband Andrew have been in Asia since 2014. They came home for 8 months in 2017 to have a baby, who is Katie, who's now 5 years old. The following year, they started fostering Alice when she was 3 months old. This hasn't been straightforward for them, as she has been removed once, but fortunately that was with a local foster mother, rather than returning to the orphanage, as many other foster children did. Their original plan was to foster as many children as they could and prepare them for adoption, but this was stopped in their province in 2019. Alice was returned to them in January 2020 when they had a lockdown, and she stayed with them ever since, which is wonderful. They made a very prayerful decision that they would like to give Alice a permanent home, forever home, but at the time that seemed impossible. They prepared the documents needed and references from the UK in readiness for a miracle in God's perfect timing, and arranged for a social worker to do their home study, which amazingly is going to happen this Tuesday. And this had to be hurried up because the social worker doing it is returning to England in the summer. But they still thought adoption was a dream. But last week, Laura contacted me with a message. I think our miracle is starting to happen. Are you free to chat? And I was. She told me that Alice's name had inadvertently been mentioned by a colleague of their social worker when she was speaking to an official in the adoption office in the capital city. The official had asked who Alice was and what was her story. And when she heard that Alice had been with Laura and Andrew for nearly 4 years, she said the family must really love her and she must have bonded with them. She said she wanted to help and do all she could to speed the adoption process. The door that was firmly closed is now open. Not fully yet, but it's getting there. There are still many hurdles of the dossier being prepared by the social worker before she returns to England, submission of this to the adoption office, and permission to adopt from various agencies out there. I did speak to Laura this morning, and she's actually given me a lot more hurdles that they will have to face along the way, but this is the start of things actually happening. We're still praying, and we'll pray this through as an impossible situation hopefully becomes a reality, and we can praise God for this huge step forward this week. Please pray for Tuesday, which will involve some training for Laura and Andrew, home inspection. Laura said the girls' room has never been so tidy as it is at the moment. Individual and couple interviews, and it should be over 3 days, but it's actually going to be squeezed into a day because the social worker doesn't want to catch COVID, so she wants to get back home quickly. Alice is allowed to be there. Katie won't be there. And just a little thing Alice has said to Laura. She said, She obviously doesn't really understand what adoption means, but she knows it will change things and she'll be able to be treated like Katie. She says, when you adopt me, Mummy, I will be able to go to England, to Grandma's house, to play with the toys you played with when you were a little girl, and I will be able to go to the beach with Katie, because she's not been able to do all the things that Katie's been able to do. If you would like any more information or to receive their newsletter, then please do speak to me. And thank you for listening and praying. My heart is very full this week with the good news. And just to show you the little girlies, they are here. Thank you. Where are you?
Thank you. Thank you, Jill. We'll keep praying for you. Now, Juliet, where are you? Here she is. I felt over here, but you were over here. There you are.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Okay, does anybody know what sort of special day it is today? Yes, Summer. Almost, not quite, we're nearly there, but yeah. Palm Sunday, which is part of the whole story that includes Good Friday, doesn't it? Yes, today is Palm Sunday, which is all about when Jesus went into Jerusalem, okay? And we're going to tell the story together, okay? And this story is called, this story is brought to you by the letter C. Okay, can you show me a C? This is actually a sign language C, lovely. Okay, now, sorry, this, okay. I'm telling this story and there are lots of words that begin with C in it. And every time we come to one of these special words, you're going to help me, okay? So the first word is colt, okay? Anybody know what a colt is? Yes, Tommy. It is a donkey. So we're going to go, okay, that's everybody, grown-ups too, unless you're really embarrassed. The next one, the next C is confrontation. I'm going to go, confrontation, which is another word for fight, yeah. Then after that, we have got cloaks. Cloaks, they're a bit like coats. So you can either pretend to take a jumper off, or maybe you can take off your cloak and do that with it and lay it on the ground, okay? Then we've got crowd. There's a crowd of people. So we're going to pretend we're a crowd on a film. And on the film, if you're in the crowd scene, you have to go rhubarb, 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 rhubarb. Okay, so crowd. Rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb. Okay. The next one is cheer. Yay! Lovely. Then it's complaining. So we're going to do grumbling noises. Okay. Chuckle. And then this one, cry out, but you're going to cry out, but you've got to pretend that you're a stone, okay? So maybe we're going to cry out, go, Jesus. So we might go sort of, go, Jesus, because, you know, you haven't really got a mouth, have you? Go, Jesus. Should we try that one? Cry out. Yeah, we'll get there. Okay, are we ready? Yeah. Does anybody want to join me up the front or not? No, don't worry. Now he knows what it is. It's like, no. Okay, so it starts off with a colt. Eat-aw, eat-aw. Bring me one, Jesus tells his disciples. The colt of an ass, one that has never been ridden. It continues with a potential confrontation. If anyone asks you why you're taking the colt, says Jesus, tell them the Lord needs it. So they take the colt and they get asked, but there is no confrontation. And the owners seem satisfied with the answer that the Lord needs it. Then there are the cloaks. The disciples put their cloaks on the colt. And they put Jesus on the cloaks. Okay. And as the colt clip-clops along, there are more cloaks spread by the people on the road before it. And they wave palm branches. I know it's not sea, but we can wave some branches, can't we? Lots and lots of palms. A crowd gathers. Okay. At the top of the Mount of Olives. And the crowd cheer. Woohoo! Praising God for his miracles, they shout, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And the crowd cheer again. Then the Pharisees arrive. Complaining. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Things are getting out of hand. This looks like a coronation to them. It smells of Messiah. They don't like it. And they reckon the Romans won't like it either. So they tell Jesus to tell off his disciples. But Jesus just chuckles. If I tell the crowd... Tell you what, if I tell the crowd to stop, even if I could shut them up, the stones would cry out in their place. Oh, Jesus! Oh, Jesus! And all the crowd cheered. Hooray! You see? Thank you very much.
So, you crowd, I hope you're going to cheer that there are no donkeys, colts, here this morning, but there is an offering. That was remarkably good. Okay. I haven't organised anyone to carry the baskets round, so my darling wife is going to grab them, and then three other people are going to volunteer really quickly. One, there you go, fantastic. Two, and anyone who catches my eye, thanks very much, Summer. Right, if you just pass the baskets round, we're now taking up the offering. This is part of our regular worship as members of this church. If you're visiting, please don't feel obliged to put anything in the basket. But if this is your church and this is part of your worship, then that's absolutely awesome. Have I forgotten anything? So, kids go out now before the worship starts, yeah? Okay. So, we're just going to finish up the offering, and then it'll be time for the kids and young people to go out to their groups. Now, if you're a visitor especially, please make sure your kids end up where they need to be. So, children up to the age of 5 go through to the room next door. That's little church. That's great. Kids who are 5 to 11, so at primary school, you need to go and sign in at the back there, and then they'll be going into that back room. So go out through the foyer if you're primary age kids, 5 to 11, and then youth and young adults, same, you need to sign in at the back, and then they'll be heading upstairs. There will be helpful volunteers hovering around who can explain it all. Dan Clark is the man to look at. He knows all things. Any complaints, any problems, speak to Dan. That's fantastic. Wonderful. Thank you very much, offering helpers. Lord, we thank you for these gifts of financial resources. Lord, we thank you for the gifts of time and of talent and of treasure, Lord, that you have blessed us as a people with to be about the work of your kingdom in this town. And we pray that you would increase it, Lord. You would bring supernatural abundance to what you want to do in this town, Lord, and that the overflow of your love would be felt across our community. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Dave. Thanks, Jamie. Okay, church, we're going to continue to worship now. So again, once again, if you are able to do, please stand and let's lift up our worship. But if equally not, if you'd like to remain where you are, that's absolutely fine. But we're just going to continue to worship now. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. Sing that again, church. God, I look to you.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. Yes, Lord. We love you, Lord. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God.
I will love you.
And I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all our days. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all my days. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Lord, we look to you. Jesus, we look to you. We lift up our eyes. We won't be overwhelmed. We won't be overcome by anything, Lord, because what we need to do is continually look to you. You are in control. We lift up everything to you, Lord. We put our eyes onto you, Lord. Every situation, situations we've been hearing about this morning, you are greater and bigger than them. Bigger than every situation, every job situation, every family situation, every health situation, every situation. Lord, you have this. Lord, we lift up our issues to you. We cast our burdens upon you, Lord. And we speak Jesus in every area. We speak Jesus in our family. We speak Jesus in our lives. We speak Jesus in our jobs. We speak Jesus in our community, in the geographic locations where we live. We speak Jesus in those communities. In the darkened areas, we speak Jesus. The light of Jesus shines in the darkened areas. And Lord, we thank you. We pray for your light to continue to shine and for your hand to be in every situation. Thank you, God. Church, as we sing this next song now, I just again just encourage you just to put your eyes on Jesus. That situation that you've got in your heart right now, lift it to the Lord. You know, the situation which has been concerning you, you just lift that to the Lord now and you speak the name of Jesus over that situation, and then we can rest in Him. Speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Come on, church, speak Jesus. Shout it out. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Cause your name, Lord, your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Cause your name is power,
Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Yes, Lord. Well, Lord, we do. We speak Jesus over every area, situation of our lives, Lord, and of this world. And Lord, we just thank you that we can just worship and praise you this morning, Lord. So we just thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, Lord. And now, about to receive your word, Lord, I just pray a blessing on Richard. I pray, Lord, that you just open our ears and our hearts to receive your word, Lord. Guide him by your spirit. Guide us all by your spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. As like before Richard starts, just to introduce Chris. Welcome Chris to the platform.
In the sunlight, you know. Good morning. The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 10. And I'm just putting it into context. Oh, I'm getting louder. Just put it into context. Jesus has... Yeah, I hope it's chapter 9. Did I say 10? Ah, sorry. I like to keep you on edge, you know. It's okay. So, keeping it on into context, Jesus has just had this fantastic, amazing experience. He's up a mountain. He's met God. It's amazing. And then he comes down the mountain. And here we start. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you, look at my son, for he is my only child. A spirit seizes him, and suddenly he screams. It throws him into convulsions, so he foams at the mouth. He scarcely ever leaves him. He is destroying him. I beg your disciples to drive him out." But they couldn't. "How unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus answered. "How long shall I stay with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. They were all amazed at the greatness of God. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus had done, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully. I'm about to tell you something. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they didn't understand what this meant. It was hidden from them, and they didn't grasp it. And they were afraid to ask Jesus about it. An argument started amongst them as to which of them would be greatest. Jesus, knowing what their thoughts would be, he made a little child come and stand and said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For the least amongst you will be the greatest." "Master," said John, We saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he's not one of us. Don't stop him, said Jesus, for whoever is not against you is for you. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers on ahead to get things ready into a Samaritan village. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. Then the disciples, James and John, came and said, Lord, shall we call down fire and destroy them? Jesus turned and rebuked them. And so they went on to another village. Much more exciting. Anyway, yeah, perhaps we shouldn't go down that one. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another one said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God.
Well, thank you, Chris, for leading us into quite a long passage. Relax. Okay? We're not going to spend 5 minutes on each of the verses. Only the first 17 of the verses. No. Panic not. Last week, Jamie took us through people who were, well, what were they thinking? Were they thinking might sometimes be the question. I remember when I was young and stupid, I did something particularly harebrained, and one of the guys, leaders in the group, said, Richard, you don't have to be an idiot all your life. You could take today off. And that sort of set the theme, really, and we're going to go from there. I'm a bit worried that Juliet has set me up for a fall, because if I say the word cult... and the problem is, in this message, there's going to be a lot of donkeys. Okay, try and restrain yourselves, but if you fall, God is very forgiving, and God will still love you. I might not. So, anyway, verse 25 we touched on briefly last week, where Jesus asks this question, how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose or forfeit your own soul in the process? It's about priorities. It's about our focus in life. What really matters? And as we go through this part of Luke's gospel together, we're going to see people and their priorities and what Jesus has to say to some of them. And I promise you there will be donkeys. It is Palm Sunday. And you cannot have Palm Sunday without a donkey, can you? No. Good. Well, what happened next? After Jamie left us thinking about thinking, I've done a little picture, you won't be able to read it. It's sort of half of a cartwheel, which is a sort of the journey through Luke's gospel from the Transfiguration up to, well, next weekend, really. And we're going to cover that half of the journey, and the rest of it, we may or may not cover all of it, but next week is special because we actually get to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, which is absolutely key in our understanding of God, of faith, and what life is all about. So what happened next? I'm going to try and tell you. Harken back to the Transfiguration, just very, very briefly. Peter and John meet Moses and Elijah. Remember that. It may have something to do with what James and John said. The death of Jesus, the word they use, is that it's an exodus. That's a Greek word rather than the exodus that we're familiar from the Old Testament. But the ministry and the death of Christ are described as a freedom from slavery into eternal life. It's a journey from death to life, which is quite appropriate and will be as we consider the cross on Friday. And then the resurrection, because we can never leave that out, can we? Dozy disciples, donkeys, making an ass of themselves. And the Mount of Transfiguration, first of all, they're falling asleep. Then they'd sort of jerk awake, and it's Elijah, there's Moses, there's Jesus. Oh my word, what is going on here? Let's say something, anything. And then they get told, keep a secret. Don't tell anyone, and they do that. And down the mountain, the other nine. How many people does it take to heal a boy troubled by an evil spirit? Well, more than nine, apparently. Nine men of faith and confidence, having been trained by Jesus, knowing what to do and what to say. And they've been practicing, gearing themselves up for the moment. You know, I wonder if they sort of said something like this. Well, while Jesus and the other boys are away, we could do some stuff. We see now Jesus can do things. Shall we have a go? Oops. The disciples are short of faith, even after nearly 3 years of careful instruction. I have a certain amount of sympathy when Jesus says this. How long shall I stay with you? I thought Chris caught the feeling quite well this morning as he read it. How long shall I stay with you? And we have to say this episode is sort of untidy, isn't it? There's crowds, and what exactly is wrong with the boy? Is it epilepsy? Is it demon possession? Is it both? Quite possibly both, probably both. But there is something crucial. Whatever is the problem, whatever influences are on this boy, they are subject to the sovereign power of Jesus Christ. The disciples have tried, they failed, and Jesus in his compassion, as well as probably a little bit of, oh boy, what do I have to do to get through to you lot? Jesus heals him. He restores the boy to his father. And isn't there a little picture, a kind of prophetic image of what the ministry of Christ is about? Taking those who are lost and restoring them to relationship with Father. It's a healing, it's a mercy, it's a blessing, it's a joy, it's all these things. And it's an act of sovereign power that reminds us Christ came that we might be reconciled to our Father. How come everybody is absolutely overwhelmed? They're marveling at what's going on. And Jesus says, listen carefully. Now, I have to be very, very careful at this point because I'm so tempted to say that in a French accent. Listen carefully. I shall say this only once. For those of you who are too young and innocent, it's a catchphrase from Allo, Allo. And you don't know how hard it is for me not to fall into that trap. I found this little cartoon. I thought, this is a wonderful picture of the disciples trying to learn the lessons that Jesus is trying to teach them. You know how dogs look, you know, they don't quite know what they're supposed to do next, you know. So you've got a classroom here, you won't be able to read it, I don't expect. But the teacher dog is saying this. Based on all the head tilts, maybe I'd better explain this again. And any of you who have been teachers or classroom assistants will know the feeling, won't you? You talk to them in perfect clarity, with information that should open the key of knowledge, and they sit there and look at you as if you just told them that a kipper is a dead fish. All the excitement is lost, all the understanding. There are donkeys. Thick disciples? Is that unkind? Is that unfair? I did a quick, dirty paraphrase. Jesus said in verse 44 something like this, let these words sink into your thick heads. Huh? Ever had that said to you? My mum used to say things occasionally when I, on the rare occasions when I transgressed. What were you thinking? Thinking? I wasn't thinking, I was just doing. You know. And there are times where it must have been hard for Jesus. After all, here we have the Son of God sharing the life and the truth of heaven, speaking words of life and love and hope and glory, and they sit there and look at him and they don't get it. They just don't get it. And we know they don't get it because what happens next? Who's the greatest? Leave that aside. You know, Jesus, he says these things sometimes, you know, humour him, we'll just smile. And they start having a little discussion. Who's the greatest? Am I better than you? Peter, James, they got to go up the mountain. Rhubarb, rhubarb. Who's the greatest? Can you imagine the feelings that went through the heart of Jesus at that point? He's been telling them, he started to tell them, I'm going to be arrested and crucified. And they're arguing who gets to the top of the queue. And he takes the child, look, see this child. Now we all know that children are adorable, aren't they? They're perfect, they're wonderful. You might tell from that I don't have any. I have nephews and great nephews and great nieces, and because they're related to me, they would never, ever, ever misbehave or do jokes and practical things and, you know, send mum down to the shops with clothes pegs on the hem of her skirt. Apparently she went down all the way, batting at us, because she could feel something going around the back of her legs. I can't imagine how that happened, can you? See this child? The one who would be greatest is the one who's willing to be least. Not the one who pushes forward, but the one who is prepared to serve and be taken as of no account. When you were young in these Bible times, you had very, very little standing until you reached the age of maturity. For the Jewish boys, it would be around about 12. You know, up till then, you were just a child, you know, nothing. You were, you know, your mum thought you were pretty, you were beautiful and handsome and clever, but because mums always think that. But everybody else, you were, well, just nothing much, really. The least is the greatest, says Jesus. More donkeys. Having argued, having been told you shouldn't be arguing, they then say, Jesus, we had this bloke. He was doing things he shouldn't be doing because that's our job. He had the cheek. You know, he was doing what we couldn't. He was casting out spirit in your name, and he's not one of us. He's not one of us. (sighs) That was Jesus sighing. I can hear it echoing down the centuries. Oh dear. Rather ironic, isn't it? Jesus is talking of good news that includes and liberates. And the disciples, they're trying to divide and exclude. Then it's nothing, he's not one of us. I wonder how many times in church history that's been a problem. Can you imagine it? I mean, it would never happen in our church, would it? Ever. You know, we have handsome, intelligent people, wonderful, beautiful, smart, wise women. We are as near to perfect as you could possibly get. Who's the donkey now? There are allies around us. There are allies. Don't stop them, says Jesus. You know, if you're trying to build a wall and somebody starts to help by bringing over some bricks and some cement and stuff, you're stupid if you say, go away. They're helping. They're on your side, even if they aren't in your little tight-knit group. And how often in the kingdom of God do we make that mistake of becoming so cozy together that it's hard for anybody else to squeeze in? But they're allies. I found a little bit of information that I thought was worth repeating this morning. Because it's one of the problems, isn't it? There are all sorts of things happening in the world. And just say, for argument's sake, I might once or twice have come across Christians who say things like, well, we can't be involved with that because it's not Baptist, or they're Catholic, or they're not even Christians. Who are they? So if we say we're not going to be involved because they're not linked to us, or these projects don't involve the kind of people that we are, the ones we like, you know, we like the people like us, don't we? You're all like me. No, we're not, they say, with a deep sigh of relief. But we get along because we share some things and we come to the same church and we seem to believe at least mostly the same things about most of the important things at least. So, yeah, we know, we rub along. But if we get asked to do something with people we don't feel comfortable with, I tell you what, on Fridays at our Haven drop-in, there are sometimes people who come in and their life experience is entirely different to ours, or to mine anyway. What's it, you know, why, what, oh, what do we talk about? Who are they? Why are they here? Because they're welcome. Because God has painted a big sign over the door. You might not be able to see it, you'd have to look very hard. It says, you are welcome here. This is a safe place where the love of God is. And if we prove that sign wrong, we become donkeys. If people don't do it the way we do it, the famous last words of many a dying church, we've never done that before. Or if we think, well, if we do this, but they're involved, you know, perhaps we won't get the credit. And that, of course, is really, really vital, isn't it? We should be acknowledged. We've done good. Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. Correct theology is all very well. It's actually very important. But that shouldn't be an excuse to avoid helping people in their need. And that's sometimes what the disciples did. And it was one of the things that made Jesus perplexed and sad. And the difference is summed up in this. In this one verse, Jesus resets the whole of the gospel. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. It's a lovely word, resolute, isn't it? It's strong, it's determined, it's we're going to get this done. Clear focus. And almost as soon as Jesus declares his purpose, guess what? The donkeys are back, making an ass of themselves. You probably think I'm being very unkind to these poor disciples, aren't you? I mean, what does Richard say about us when we're not there? You'll never know. But it won't be nasty. We have two wrongs making two wrongs. Jesus has said, you guys go ahead, get it ready. There's a village down the road, Samaritan village. Get things ready. We'll find a place to stay and maybe an organised dinner. And the Samaritans there say, hello, who are you? Well, actually, it was probably a bit more blunt than that. But where are you going, they say. And we're going with Jesus to Jerusalem. Then off, they say. Because if you're going to Jerusalem, you're obviously not one of us. You don't believe the same things as we do. And who said Jerusalem's that important anyway? Because they believed that they were a people who had a special relationship with God and a special holy place. And, well, it's our way or the highway. And where we get the wonderful thunder twins. I know, Jesus, I've got a really great idea. You know, we saw Elijah and Moses up on the Mountain of Transfiguration. Do you know what? Elijah had a bit of fun. He did something wonderfully holy. He called down fire from God and he burnt up the lot of them. Can we do that? Please, please nicely, pretty please. And you're sitting there horrified, I hope, that any half-thinking Christian person, Christ follower, would even dare to suggest that the answer to any problem is blow it up. Now, I have to say to you, over the years, in 30-odd years of ministry, with wonderful people, there have been the odd moments where I felt James and John got it right. My life would have been so much simpler. The church would have been so much better if so-and-so had disappeared in a pile of smoke and flames. You can't believe that of me, can you? Kind, gentle. You've never seen me play football, have you? No. No. You can blow up balloons. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. As if that wasn't enough, you know. Oh, dear. Jesus says, no. Stupid boys. And then we get to another bit of donkey stuff. Excuses, excuses. These people. I'll follow you, Jesus. Oh, you like roughing it, do you? There's no luxury, there's no great big reward, there's not even a place to lay your head if you follow me. He says to the other man, you, follow me. Let me bury Dad first. There's a little interesting bit here. There's a strong Jewish custom that the eldest son took responsibility for eventually arranging the mourning and the burial of the father and the family. And it was a serious duty. Now, just bear with me for a minute. Do you think it's particularly likely that Dad, being so obviously gravely ill, that, let's call him Fred, want of a better name, that Fred has come to this, you know, this crowd out where Jesus is, leaving his dad on his presumed deathbed? Does that sound awfully likely? Some of you aren't too sure, obviously. And no, it's very unlikely, isn't it? Now, Dad, he may have been pushing it. He might have been getting old. He might have been 40. Oh, blimey, 40. Really old. I don't know. Well, probably good for a few years yet. And what the bloke is actually saying is, well, yeah, I'll follow you when it suits me. But, you know, let me do this. Let's do the family stuff. And this means I can put it off for a good while yet. Excuses. Oh, says the other one. I just want to go and say goodbye to the family. And Jesus has a word there about priorities. Yes, it's good to be right with your family. It's lovely to, you know, do it properly and say goodbye before you go on a journey. But Jesus isn't inviting him on a trip to the seaside. He's asking him to devote his entire life totally and to walk the way of the cross. Jesus has said quite resolutely, I'm going to Jerusalem and there will be trouble. It's not about a nice convenient trip. It's about God becoming complete priority. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. In one of our churches, we lived in quite a rural area, and they used to do fun things like tractor competitions and things and pig racing. I kid you not, pig racing. It was a thing. Occasionally, you'd get to see fields being ploughed. Do you know how they do it? They sit in their tractors because, you know, they've gone up a bit from horses and oxen and stuff. They sit in their tractors and they look that way, forwards. And they fix their eye on part of a hedge or a bush or something, and they go straight towards it. And do you know what happens if they go back? How am I doing? Whee! You get nice curvy furrows. And you get people coming from the News of the World to say, did an alien craft make these shapes in the field? Because they look back instead of focusing on where they're going. It's quite a harsh word that Jesus says there, isn't it? It's quite hard. If you start and then look back, you're not fit for purpose. Which brings us to our conclusion as we come to Palm Sunday. It's not in the passage itself as we read, but it's what the whole passage in a sense has been about. And do you know one of the lovely things about donkeys in this passage? They may be donkeys, but do you know what? This donkey was fit to carry a king. And these disciples who've made asses of themselves, by the time Jesus has finished with them and the Holy Spirit has filled them, do you know what? They're ambassadors for the king. And they will go out and the world will change because these ordinary people who listen to an extraordinary, wonderful person in Jesus, they changed the world through God's power. Palm Sunday then, yes, it's a day to say, yeah, a donkey was centre stage. What kind of king comes in on a donkey? One of humility. One who is not about taking over by force. Wouldn't it be a better world if leaders today followed the Jesus model and on state occasions actually had to ride a donkey instead of coming in their limos? Wouldn't it? Pardon me this phrase. And any of you here are strong, convinced conservatives, I have to say, I would love to see Boris coming over London Bridge on a donkey. And what would be in my head is, look, a donkey riding a donkey. But let's leave politics to one side, because it's not about politics, it's about leadership. It's about true kingship. It's about humility and following God. And that's what matters. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the crowd chant on Palm Sunday. It's from the Psalms. It's the messianic greeting. God is sending the king. Blessed is he. Everything's going to change for the better. Which is absolutely true. It won't work out quite the way they're thinking, but I'm now frightening the lot of you because you see another list of things on the screen. Fear not. Still to come, this is the advert break for the rest of the gospel and Easter. What's going to happen next? Well, shortly. Jesus is going to upset everybody by cleansing the temple. There's going to be an episode in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus will be weeping tears, where the sweat will look like blood, where his heart is breaking in anticipation of the suffering to follow. Lord, if there is any way, take this cup from me. But if not, I will do your will. There's going to be a betrayal. Judas, politics, money, both, who knows? And Peter, you know, good old Peter, I'll never deny you. Next time you see a bonfire or sit around a campfire or something and look into the flames, just think of Peter sitting there, his best friend and his Lord on trial. And what goes through his mind? I can't even bring myself to say I know him. There's a rigged trial, two trials, one with the Romans, one with the Jews. There's a crucifixion. Utterly, utterly horrendous. The disciples will scatter. But then there's the R word. Can you guess what the R word is? There's rumours going round the room. It's about resurrection. And you're right. It's Palm Sunday, but Easter is coming. And if you wanted to jump ahead, and this is where I'm going to finish this morning, to understand why Jesus resolutely set his face to Jerusalem, why he was utterly determined to do the will of his Father, we find it described here in Hebrews chapter 12. And we're told that we should be looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. All of this is about the atonement, about the reconciliation, the forgiveness, the restoration. It's about putting what's wrong right. It's about changing donkeys into prize-winning horses. More than that. Because we too can carry a king. You might think I'm a donkey. Can be. I'm as stubborn as a mule sometimes. Call me a donkey if you will, but you know what? the Lord Jesus says to me, you can carry me. You'll do. And you know what? Jesus says that to every one of us today. You may be a donkey. Now, don't take it personally. You may be a donkey. But in the eyes of Christ, you are special and precious. And you have the privilege of being allowed to carry the King out through those doors into the world, where people will say, blessed is he or she who comes in the name of the Lord, because Christ comes with that person, with us. So, let's get to it. There's a door. And on your way. Because Christ goes with you. Remember that this week. And next Sunday, guess what? We can come back together. And the R word. The R word. We're not supposed to say it this week. It's a week early. You know, if you go through some of the, you know, like Jamie said about Lent and liturgies and things. Should I mention the R word before Easter Sunday? Frankly, I don't care what other people say. Because the R word is at the heart of everything. Isn't it? Christ who died and is risen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Dave and the gang to come back and lead us in a closing moment or two of worship as they come. Can I pray with you? Lord, as we have been on a journey with Jesus and his disciples, as we've heard how they've responded to other people and situations that, well, Lord, we can hardly understand what it was like, but Lord, we've talked about them being like donkeys. Well, I have anyway. But Lord, may this week my heart, our hearts, offer a throne for Christ to ride as King into this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, I'm going to continue to worship now. That's a great message. If you're able to, do please stand. Let's worship together. Again, if you're not, that's absolutely fine. Remain where you are, but let's just lift up our voices.
My hope is built. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Sing that again, church. My hope.
My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. In Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, and He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. Beautiful church, lift up those voices. Christ alone. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. We worship You, Lord, Christ alone. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
One more time, church. Christ alone.
And Christ alone.
Worship You, Lord, for You are our cornerstone. Lord, You made all things possible through You, through the cross. Lord, we thank You. for being the cornerstone in our lives, being the cornerstone in this world. We can build our foundations on you. We can build our lives on you. You are our foundation. So I thank you, God, our rock, our strength, our peace, our provider, our friend, our Savior. Lord, we lift this worship to you. Lord, we lift our lives to you. Lord, we just thank you, God, for all that you are and all that you're doing. And I pray a blessing upon every person in this room today. I pray, as it has been preached today, that you just, yes, Lord, send us out. Fill us by your Spirit, Lord. Guide us, lead us, use us, Lord. Let us be the messenger to the community, to the friends, to the world, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, it's been great. Great to see you. Have a fantastic week. Have a blessed week. We have prayers at the front here, so if you have any particular needs or if you want us to pray over the community, over any issues which you feel led to do so, do please join us. There's teas and coffees out the back there. Have a great week. Blessed week. Take care.